this F&B space has been through the ringer in 2020. So, you know, what you're coming into Nationwide, how are you reviewing things as they were this past year for the space that you're now in charge of here at Nationwide?
As long as the members are healthy and well and they're driving sales and growing their businesses, then we're going to be fine. The furniture and bedding business in general has seen a tremendous pickup for the last Q3, and that's continued in Q4. And so I see this industry as a whole continuing to be strong. And I am really optimistic about 2021.
Welcome back to the Independent Thinking Podcast. This is your host, Rob Stott. Imagine stepping into a new role at a new company, one you might be familiar with, but you know, a new job for you, and your second week on the job, you're asked to attend that company's biggest trade show, and you're that head of a division that is representative of a major category for that company. And you know, not only are you at the biggest trade show for the company, but you know, that trade show happens to be attempting its first ever all digital show. Well, that is exactly the situation that Mike Darrow, the VP of Furniture and Bedding, who started middle of October here at Nationwide Marketing Group, was faced when, you know, he was told to, you know, be ready to attend and talk about all about the furniture and bedding category during virtual primetime. And to his credit, Mr. Darrow, you know, obviously has some history with this space and is very familiar with primetime, so he had that going for him. And you know, he crushed it for all intents and purposes, and you know, wanted to give him a little bit of a breather before we decided to ask him to hop on the podcast. But no, he was a real sport about it, and you know, we were excited to get his take on, you know, the perspective, the unique perspective he brings to the industry, to his new role here, and you know, having been with a vendor in the past, and now joining on this side of the business to, you know, help independent retailers navigate the furniture and bedding industry. So just a real intelligent guy, one that we were, like I said, excited to get the chance to talk to and kind of see what he is looking out for, you know, as we head into 2021. And, you know, he joined at the tail end of a really interesting year for this space, for all, you know, interesting year in general, but, you know, for the F&B space and independent retailers in general. So, you know, a lot of insights, a lot of great ideas and things that he's working on, and talk a little bit too about the challenges that the space has faced, about that retailers have faced from a merchandising standpoint and just operating their businesses and what they can expect in 21. So great, like I said, a great conversation, one we were excited about having, and finally got Mr. Darrow on the podcast. So let's just go ahead and dive into this Independent Thinking Podcast with Mike Darrow, Nationwide's VP of Furniture and Bedding. All right, we are back on the Independent Thinking Podcast, and real honored to be joined in his second month on the job by Mike Darrow, our VP of Furniture and Bedding here at Nationwide Marketing Group. And Mike, first of all, before we dive into it, I know you literally skipped out of a meeting to come onto the podcast. So you must have been, you know, excited to do this, and I appreciate, you know, you finding the time.
Very happy to be here, Rob. I mean, we have a team call every morning. It's just kind of set the stage and really make sure that the people on our team are aligned and focused and trying to make a difference in helping our members grow.
No, that's awesome. And like I said, I appreciate you being here. I'm brand new to the job, but not new to the industry. So excited to catch up with you and kind of see, you know, what you're excited about with this job. But let's start with, you know, your path through you know, this space and what brought you to Nationwide. So just kind of tell us a little bit about your career history and what brought you here.
Yeah, I'll go way back. You know, I went to school in business for business management, and I was involved with sports and athletics my entire life, Rob. And so when I was in school, I always wanted to do something within the athletic field, competitive nature, and so on and so forth. So I was actually working at a gym right out of college, and I was a personal trainer for a while, and I was saving up money. So I actually went to the bank with a business plan to open up my own gym. And this was in the early 90s, Rob. So that was when independent gyms were still, and actually today they're still pretty popular, but so I went to the bank. They said, okay, we like your business plan, but you need to come back with a certain amount of capital, which I didn't have. So I was working with someone who took a job in sales, and I was going to do it for a year. and make the cash I needed and open up my gym. And when I got into the sales, I just loved it. And so 28 years later, Rob, I'm still in sales. And for the
still saving up capital for that gym.
Still saving up capital. I still may do that. Maybe I'll open up the gym and let one of my kids run it for me. But I real funny story, and my very first sales call, and this is 100% true. So I'm dating myself, Rob, but I was in the telecommunications industry for a sales job. And I'll even date myself even further. What we were selling were pagers. And so I don't know if you ever even saw one, Rob, or carried one, but we were actually a really large organization within the wireless telecommunications industry. And so back in the early 90s, the joke was, you know, there was two kinds of people that carry pagers. There was doctors, and then there was drug dealers. And so I got my first appointment, and it was at a resident's home. And I went to this person's location, and it was a house. And so I walked in. And I was starting to do my first pitch, very first sales pitch. And gentlemen seemed nice. We were sitting down for 10 minutes. We're kind of going through the process. And then the front door comes, gets blown open, and it's the DEA.
Oh, no. And,
on the ground, rifles pointed at me. They thought there was a transaction going on, and there was a transaction. I was just trying to sell the guy cake.
Oh no! So and, when they say that doctors and drug dealers, you were it's not incorrect.
It was not the doctor that I was speaking to, I guess. But long story short, I ended up selling one of the DEA agents a pager.
There you go.
And I thought, hey, this is sales. This is exciting. I'm going to stay in it. So I've been in sales ever since.
No, any stick ups since?
No, thank you. No. Thank God. Right. Zero. So, but I really, you know, so I was in sales and telecommunications for a number of years and started getting into management. But then I had a good friend of mine that I've just known for years, all the way back to high school days, who was working for a company called Serta at the time. And when a sales opportunity opened up at Serta, he just really talked so highly about their go-to-market strategy. Their mission statement at Serta was, we grow our business by growing our retailers' business. And I just really fell in love with that mission statement. And so I interviewed with him. I didn't know anything about mattresses at the time, other than I bought one from Mattress Giant back in the early 90s, and just really fell in love with that retail independent channel strategy of go to market, and joined Serta back in the early 2000s, and had a really, really long career with Serta that became SSB. And for about 8 years, Rob, I was part of a team that was specifically working with independent retail channels. And it was more on the mattress side of the business, opening up mattress stores. But the majority of our independent entrepreneurs owned furniture stores. So I was dealing with a lot of individual entrepreneurs in the furniture that were opening up mattress stores and kind of competing against themselves in the marketplace. And so for a lot of years with the Serta brand, I felt like I was closer to the independent retailer than I even was from the manufacturer.
Yeah.
Because honestly, Rob, I wasn't even looking at our mattresses and the product was important. But for me, I was looking, how can I work with that independent retailer, grow their business, drive it, open up more stores, get more market share, and create a life for themselves that they may not have been able to do just on their own. And so that was many, many years of doing that. And then I just had a lot of sales divisions within SSB when Serta and the Beautyrest brands combined. And part of my responsibility for a number of years was buying groups. And that was my first introduction to actually Mega and Nationwide before Nationwide and Mega merged. And so I've been in the buying group world for a lot of years. And that, you know, kind of led me to conversations with Mr. Tom Hickman and joining the Nationwide team this year.
And not only did you join this year, but you joined 2 weeks before our first ever virtual primetime, which, you know, you talk about a new venture for Nationwide and everyone involved, but you joining the team and how were those first two weeks?
both feet in the fire, Rob. It was amazing. I was lucky enough to be a part of many Nationwide primetime shows in person. And so I think all of us were a little uncertain of how the first virtual primetime was going to go, but really excited of how powerful and positive the messages that I was getting personally from a lot of our vendors and manufacturers and the independent entrepreneurs out there and the retailers. Our members were ecstatic, and I was, it was 2.5 days of just running around a little crazy, but it was great to be a part of. And I was really happy to see the outcome for a 2.5. And I think of the feedback I got, it was almost 100% positive.
No, that's awesome. And before we dive too much further into, you know, Nationwide and kind of where we're heading and your excitement and what you see there, I know prior to the last year, you had been with a company, Flow Water, and you know, we came found out a little bit before we started this podcast, our paths almost crossed, or they probably did. We just didn't know it at CES, while you were out there for Flow Water. But tell me a little about it. It's a really interesting company because I've seen, for those who don't know, it's you could describe it better, I know, but the basically, you know, the water fountain stations that you refill bottles and, I've seen them pop up everywhere. Malls. I know my old high school right down the road, my wife works there now. They installed a whole bunch of these, systems. So tell me what that was like. A very different industry, but you know, what was it like, working with Flow Water?
Very different. It was great. I was hired on as their first chief sales officer. It was a startup. They were 6 years young when I joined them. And, my responsibility was to really try to help them grow. They had a couple of sales teams on the West Coast, and my responsibility was to kind of grow those sales teams across the country. But what attracted me to Flow Water was their mission statement. So their main goal as an organization was a green effect, and it was about removing the plastic waste that unfortunately goes into our lakes, rivers, landfills, oceans. And so that was the actual mission statement of the company before we even have the hardware to sell, Rob. Yeah. So that attracted me. It was another similar to like furniture and bedding when you're trying to, you know, either have someone sleep better and get a better night's rest and they feel better in the morning. I mean, this was a company that was geared around giving a end consumer a better experience with water. And we take water for granted in a lot of cases, right, Rob? I mean, to your point, in your school, I mean, there was water fountains everywhere and you could get water. But the reality is, unfortunately, most tap water is not very safe to drink. Mm-hmm. The microplastics that unfortunately are heading into our waters from the lakes, rivers, landfills is, and I'll never forget this fact when I was doing some of the due diligence, is if you're just drinking normal bottled water, plastic water, or just water out of the tap, unfortunately, there's microplastics in there.
Yeah.
To the effect that you're essentially drinking 2 credit cards worth of plastic ingesting into your body every month.
Oh man.
And so we are trying to provide when I was with Flow Water, trying to provide a solution for schools, education, colleges, fitness, gyms, and corporations where they just had a much safer source of water. And it was all about transforming tap water. So we could tie into any potable tap water source, Rob, and provide clean, great tasting, good for you because we added minerals and vitamins back into the water, and we removed 99.9% of the contaminants that you didn't want in your water. And so it was a mission-driven company, which I really fell in love with. And long story short, COVID, we felt the effects just like everyone else, right? We had a trough in, say, March and April that we saw on the retail side from furniture and bedding as well. But we were able to transition quickly as a small organization to create a touchless solution within our hardware. And that's really started to resonate well within those verticals that I spoke about earlier.
Yeah.
And so Flow Water's doing really well. And I felt like throughout this year, we were really making great headway. And up to the point where Tom Hickman started talking to me about Nationwide, I felt comfortable enough that we positioned things the right way in Flow Water, and they're continuing to be successful. And I could get back into the furniture and bedding business that I had been in for decades.
No, that's awesome. And certainly, like, the innovation over there, that it's cool to see. And I know microplastics is something that's a topic that, you know, that's almost to the point where it's become a buzzword at this point, but, a very serious one. I've seen it crop up in other industries from, washers and dryers that, a lot of those microplastics come off of clothes that, fall into those waterways and stuff. So, manufacturers doing their due diligence there to create products that filter those out and whatnot. But no, cool to see. Just an awesome company. And like you said, an awesome mission statement, and kind of ties into everything I think that goes on here at Nationwide and how we're working to help independents, like you mentioned. And this past year, the F&B team I know has been hard at work, making sure that our dealers have opportunities. So, coming in, kind of take a minute to reflect on, I know you were working with Flow Water at the time, but this F&B space has been through the ringer, in 2020. So, what you're coming into Nationwide, what are you sort of, how are you reviewing things as they were this past year for, you know, the space that you're now, you know, sort of in charge of for here at Nationwide?
Yeah. First off, I think the organization has done a tremendous job with the support of the membership and even all the way down to the PPP and all the things that started to come out in March and April when COVID really started to expand the United States. I think the organization as a whole just did a tremendous job supporting that independent retailer. And it's no different in the furniture and bedding industry. Jeff Rose, Johnny Lamp, and Chad Fisher just did a tremendous job this year, putting in the work to support the membership. And we in the division understand that as long as the members are healthy and well and they're driving sales and growing their businesses, then we're going to be fine. And so we saw a really significant shift post Q2. Q2 was a struggle in most furniture and bedding. But when we looked at the categories in general, Rob, and you started to see that disposable cash of where the consumer was spending outside of maybe not going to travel and flying and going to different places, staying in hotels or going out to dinner, they kind of reflected and looked at their own homes and they wanted to make improvements in their homes. So the furniture and bedding business in general has seen a tremendous pickup for the last Q3, and that's continued in Q4. And so I see this industry as a whole continuing to be strong. And I am really optimistic about 2021 for a few different reasons. And I just wrote an article that I think will go out into the newsletter that's coming out probably in the next few weeks. But I see some positive things for 2021. One, there's been tremendous movement on the vaccinations where already Pfizer's been out there and been rolling out this week. And then yesterday, the second vaccine was approved. And I think from a worldwide perspective and COVID specifically, you know, to have two vaccinations that are 90% effective is unheard of. Just to put it in perspective, a real good flu vaccine protects about half the people. So to have two that are over 90% is unbelievable. And that's led to a lot of consumer optimism. And you've seen that reflected in the New York Stock Exchange and consumer confidence. So that would be one. The second thing that I'm really confident in is just the stability in the country. And regardless, Rob, of who you supported in the presidential campaign, there was just a real polarizing effect with both parties that now that we've gotten past the election, you're already starting to see that unified response to COVID, and we're on the verge of having a second government economic recovery plan be launched. And so I think from that stability factor, we're going to go into 21 with a little bit more consistency than probably March and April and the rest of the year was this year. And then the last piece for us, you know, in furniture and bedding, the majority of the transactions historically has been around life-changing moments, Rob. So getting married, you're buying a house, you're selling a house, you're having children, getting divorced, whatever that is. And that's not going to change.
Right.
So what we've seen in the last, you know, last few months is that those real estate transactions continue to increase. The new starts or new home construction has been double-digit increases for the last few months. And then the mortgage rates and interest rates have been at historic lows.
Yep.
So I think there's a lot of tailwinds that we head into 2021 with as an industry and as an independent retailership in furniture and bedding that we have a lot of things working for us.
Well, you mentioned the opportunities around, you know, the major life events. This year kind of feels like just a major life event for everyone, and you kind of hit on it, but just the idea that people have been sitting at home, you know, on a couch, in a bed, working on a daily basis, and in an office too. So, you know, people that hadn't had home offices that are now, you know, finding that they are working from home. Some jobs are switching to full-time work from home. They realize remote work is possible. So, I mean, there's so many opportunities for this global pandemic has been a major life event for everyone. And kind of feels like it was not what you thought of maybe at the outset, but it really has presented itself as a major opportunity for this space to, you know, sell new furniture, sell new couches, sell new kitchen tables that are now, you know, eating/working spaces or office furniture that, you know, wasn't, you know, top of mind for a lot of people before. So, crazy. Those first 2 months of the pandemic, I know, had a big impact on this space, but It's sort of making up for itself and then some, it feels like, you know, as you mentioned, the back half of this year, and then as we look ahead to 21.
I completely agree, Rob. I think the momentum that the channel has built and the independent retailers have taken advantage of will continue into 21 for sure. Even when the vaccinations and the herd immunization happens, I think it's changed people's lives forever, and they still want to have improvement in their home. And you hit the nail on the head. I mean, two sectors in the furniture business, dining and office,
yeah.
Really wasn't that strong for a lot of years. And it's two of the largest categories now in the furniture industry because of people working from home, because of people working out of their dining room. And the mattresses they realize now they have to sleep better and they want a better life in their home. And so I think that will continue. I think you're going to see that consumer, even when we're able to travel and get outside without a fear of contracting any type of a virus, I think you'll still people see consumers wanting to spend more at the home than they ever have before.
Yeah. An unintentional plug, but you know, night and day, Murphy, you know, converted our guest room into an office here, you know, working from home. And that was just because, and working for Nationwide, I'm able to work from home. So they allowed me to stay up here in Philly, but night and day Murphy bed, there's a vendor right there. And I'm working on a desk that's from a vendor as well. And got a monitor that's from a vendor, you know, it worked out. So
absolutely.
It's the space, you know, we're all making changes and adjustments. So you get the opportunity to sit around and upgrade and look at your house and do these things. It is what it is. And, you know, how about though from, you know, we talked a little bit about the product side and what retailers have been able to capitalize on in this space. How about the business side of things? I know, you know, mattress retailing and furniture retailing, for what it's worth, have both, you know, had to adjust and, you know, retailers are changing business strategies on the fly. And, you know, we're getting back to the point where here in the next couple of months, we'll hopefully be, you know, everything fully open and, not that social distancing will be completely relaxed. I'm sure people, you know, consumers will still have a little bit wariness about going out and all that sort of thing. But what opportunities do you think they've taken advantage of, or how long lasting do you think these changes in how retailers have had to do business? I mean, is this the new normal for them? I hate that term, but you know, it is what it is. Is this the new normal for them, or you know, do you kind of see things going back to an old normal, if you will?
I think some segments of the old normal, Rob, are gone forever. I think some of the things that the retailers have adopted and made a part of their business will continue moving forward, even when we get back to whatever the new normal is going to be, right, Rob? But I think from a digital platform perspective, and then outreach to that consumer and finding her where she is looking for that new dining room table or the new mattress, she is starting online. And so the digital platform, including social media platforms and the Google searches, are something that are going to be with us forever and will probably even just accelerate. So those retailers that have worked with our organization, whether it's Site on Time or Retail Web Services, to develop those programs and adopt it into their businesses will continue to be successful. And that won't change even when we're able to go back outside and spend more time and not social distance as much as we currently are. So that's something that will always be part of business moving forward. And sure. I think what we'll see in the first part of next year too, that'll be improvement than what we're seeing right now, is the supply chain challenges that many of the manufacturers are seeing. We're already seeing huge improvements on the bedding side of it now. And we all feel that based probably over Q1 and into Q2, those supply chain challenges will be back to whatever normal is, right? But
right.
A quick turnaround. On the furniture side, it'll probably be a little bit of a slower comeback. We still see huge improvement, but that lead time is still unfortunately pretty far out. But we see that being lessened in Q2 and then for sure going into Q3. So I think we'll have a ton of tailwinds in the first half of next year. And then Q3 and Q4, a lot of the supply chain challenges that have really restricted, even though we've seen huge growth, Rob, over the last few months, it could have been larger for independent retailers if supply chain wasn't as big of a challenge as it is.
Right.
That'll subside going into the back half of next year. So we really feel strongly that 21 is going to be a powerful year for independent retailers.
Yeah. And I know, you know, the supply chain issues, were something we wanted to dive into a little bit. And awesome overview and kind of, you know, good to hear that things are improving. You know, for the retailer that's sitting there right now, you know, they've got so much demand, or, you know, they're sitting on some back order. What's sort of the message to them, or what can they do to, you know, not necessarily improve business because the product just isn't there right now. So what's sort of the message to them to kind of get through this while they wait for, you know, things to catch up?
Yeah, for sure. Don't stop communicating, continue to market, continue to advertise digitally, and reach out to that consumer, because they're our independent retailers and our members, they're the brand. So we have hundreds of vendors that are going to support their brand. But when the consumer is looking for that new mattress or consumer is looking for that new sofa, they want to go to that independent retailer and support that local business. So continue to communicate. There is inventory on both furniture and bedding. So you may want to potentially limit the SKUs that you're actually promoting. And we used to have an old saying in retail, sell what you got, right, Rob? Yep. So if you have SKUs that you're deep in, promote those, sell those. Continue to work with us at Nationwide, and the vendors will continue to improve the supply chain. And that's one nice thing about a member being a part of Nationwide, is you have a really powerful engine working for you with the manufacturers to make sure that the Nationwide member is as high on the totem pole as possible to get products into their stores. So sell what you have, don't continue to market and advertise, especially digitally, to that consumer, because they do want to support local.
And to your point about, you know, working with a group like Nationwide is, you know, yes, you as a retailer have your inventory. You got what you kind of is your bread and butter. But if there's ever a time to, you know, potentially explore what else is out there from a merchandising perspective, now would be the time. You know, you check what's out there, check what's available. And, you know, if demand's high, you know, consumers, not to say they're so set in their ways, they know what they want. Some are, you know, that's just a fact. But, you know, if they need something, if it's something where they're looking to, you know, they need to make a replacement or need to upgrade something, you know, yeah, find what's out there for them, work with them. And maybe it's with a vendor partner you're not thinking about right now.
Yep, for sure. Like I said earlier, we have hundreds of vendors that we work with on the furniture and bedding side. MemberNet, we try to keep that as updated as possible. And in there, there's some inventory opportunities as well, too, that we try to push out. And if any member has any questions on any vendors, or just asking us what's moving, what's high in inventory, reach out to us. We're happy to help.
That's awesome. So last question, we'll kind of close on this. You alluded to what sort of excites you about 21 coming up and the opportunities available. Is there any, I always ask this jokingly to Jeff, because he knew I came from the CE space and innovation was my thing. And, you know, I always like to joke with him about floating beds and things like that. So what on the product side excites you about, you know, what's coming in the next year, or, you know, over the next couple of years, as far as whatever innovation looks like in furniture and bedding?
Yeah, I can speak more specifically probably on the bedding. We have three really huge launches on the bedding side going into 2021, Rob, that we're really excited about. And some of our top vendors are introducing product that has elements of virus protection, health and wellness. And that's also on the furniture side as well too, Rob. So I think where probably the number one factor that most consumers are thinking about now more than they ever have before is their health and wellness.
Yep.
And the vendors and manufacturers have taken that to heart, and they're implementing those into some of their new product launches that I couldn't be more excited about. I think the independent retailer that looks at those products, that's speaking to their consumer, that health and wellness are top of mind right now, they're going to have great products that they can provide to those consumers when they walk into their stores in 2021.
So what does that mean exactly when you talk about sort of the health and wellness and virus, you know, technologies in a mattress? Do you understand then? And can you explain a little bit what that
means? Yeah. So there's manufacturers now that are coming out with surface protection capabilities that kill 99.9% of viruses on their mattresses.
Wow.
So, you know, and that's for me as a person, which I haven't been traveling as much, but as a traveler, that's one thing I always worry about and think about even previous to COVID, is wherever, what hotel I'm staying at, what's on the mattress, these manufacturers are coming out with products that are specifically going to tackle that problem and solution and make not only themselves feel more comfortable, but if they have children, they can feel comfortable that the children are sleeping on a healthy mattress.
Oh, that's really cool. And so that's innovation. You know, that's a group of manufacturers, you know, working to solve a real world problem that, yep. you know, you wouldn't think possible, but hey, here we are, innovation in 2020 and 2020 moving forward. So,
and I will tie out one last thing on a product innovation perspective, yeah. just because it was top of mind for me in Flowater. We have a manufacturer that's actually making product from recycled plastic.
There you go.
Taking plastic out of our rivers, oceans, and making the water sources a little bit healthier.
Oh, that's awesome. So those things always excite me. And, you know, I cleared for you as well. It's cool to see sort of the company's mission show through in product or how they're working to, you know, improve the lives of consumers. So, Mr. Mike Darrow, I appreciate the time. And I know we're coming up on the end of the year here, so I know we're all busy. So I appreciate you sparing a few moments and chatting with us. And, look forward to seeing what comes out of the F&B team in 21. So
thanks, Robert. I appreciate the time.
All right. And again, a huge thank you to Mike for taking time and chatting with us and spitting some awesome insights on furniture and bedding and kind of where he hopes to see the F&B division go here at Nationwide and the work that he and his team are already doing to, you know, achieve those goals and make 21 a much better year. It shouldn't be hard, but make 21 a better year than a 20 was. And I appreciate him taking the time and as always appreciate you listening to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.